From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Sanjay Sahani, who is currently the Controller of Examinations of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sri Sanjay Sahani was a student of the first batch of the 5-year Integrated Commerce Program in Swami's University. He won the gold medal for academic excellence both for his BCom as well as MCom programs. Subsequently, Bhagwan blessed him to join as a faculty member in 1987 at the Prashanti Nilayam campus. Later, he also served as a warden of the senior boys' hostel in Prashanti Nilayam and as the principal of the Brindavan campus, a position he held till recently. The topic for today's talk is Does Sai Know Me? And this talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 11th of February 2018. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we have some beautiful songs sung by Dana Gillespie. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And with that, over to Professor Sanjay Sahani.
Offering my loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Esteemed brothers and sisters, and revered elders. Adi Shankara, in his famous composition, the Bhaja Govindam, he wrote or sang, Satsangatve Nissangatvam, Nissangatve Nirmohatvam, Nirmohatve Nischaltatvam, Nischaltatve Jivan Mukti. If one aspires for being liberated, what is the path? What is the starting point? And he himself answers, the starting point is satsangam. Getting into holy company. Because when you get into satsangam, you get near nissangatvam. Nissangatvam, you get detachment. From detachment comes nirmohatvam, where delusion will vanish. And once delusion vanishes, nischaltatvam. Nischaltatvam is you reach a steady state of mind, which is the next door to the final emancipation. So, we have entered into a satsang this morning. Not that I have anything extra which you don't have. But together, we are going to contemplate on sat. Swami said, when you say satsang, sangha means association. Association with sat. What is that sat? Sat is nothing but divinity. So for a few minutes, we are going to contemplate on the divine Lord, whom we all knew and the association with whom we all cherish. Bhagwan's words are not separate from him. Every word he uttered was a mantra. What is a mantra? Mananatrayati iti mantraha. That which contemplated upon protects you is a mantra. So, for this morning, I thought I will take up 3 beautiful mantras which Swami has given us. If we contemplate on these 3 statements of Swami, and I will share some of my experiences on what I feel about these 3 statements. And that is also the genesis of the title of today's talk. Does Sai know me? Now, the trigger for this whole thought process came to me through a talk which was given by Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram. She is a devotee of Bhagwan residing in the United States of America today. She was the daughter of Dr. Padmanabhan, who belonged to the Sheshagiri family. They were the earlier, you know, pujaris here, and then they started the Akhand Bhajan, which after 25 years, Swami said it should become a global phenomenon, and that is how after 25 years of their celebrating Akhand Bhajan in Bangalore, Swami made it a global phenomenon, and Sai organization celebrates it all over the world today. So, one day she was invited to some satsang in United Kingdom, and she asked Swami, "Swami, can you give me a message? I will share this message with the devotees in the UK." And Swami said, "I'm not going to give any message. Whatever I have to speak, I have already spoken. Now you all practice. Time is for you all to practice." So, but she prayed, "Swami, Swami, they'll be very happy if you give a message." And then Swami thought for a while, and then he gave these beautiful three statements. He said, "Tell this to all my devotees, wherever you go. The first statement, tell them, I know each one of you. Number two, I am with each one of you. And third, I love each one of you." I consider, when I heard it for the first time, because Swami's words always have stunned me, and right from my very young days, school days, I have been fascinated by his words and inspired by them in myriad ways. So I thought I'll share some thoughts and my own experiences on what these mean. And maybe let me start with the experience which was shared by Mrs. Geeta herself. There was this devotee in her city in US who came to her. Geeta Mohan was coming to Prashantinilayam for a pilgrimage, and she said, "I have this letter to be given to Swami. Can you take this letter, and if you get a chance..." She thought, you know, because Swami talks to her, Swami calls her for an interview, so maybe she has a good chance of giving the letter to Swami. Now, Swami had once told her, "Hey, you are not a Prashantinilayam postman," because she had brought once letters, and Swami was not too happy that, you know, she was carrying that. So she was a little reluctant, but so she just hesitantly asked, "If I don't get a chance, we don't know with Swami, we can never say, is it okay if I post it to Swami?" No, "You give it in the hand only." Okay. So she came, and the day she landed in Prashantinilayam, immediately Swami was already in darshan, and she just got out of the taxi and rushed to the mandir, and Swami called her for an interview immediately. But the letter was in the luggage in the taxi, so she didn't get a chance. Next day morning, they were sitting for darshan, and again Swami came and picked her up and said, "Come." And so she was sitting in the interview room, and Swami was talking. And then at one moment, after quite a bit of conversation was over, Swami pats her cheek and said, "You are not yet given me what your friend wanted to give me." So immediately she put her hand in the purse and she took out the letter and gave it to Swami. Now the letter which this lady had written, basically she wanted, like, you know, any mother, she was a would-be mother, and she wanted a blessing for her child, so she wanted Swami to name her child. So that was the content of the letter. And when this lady gave this letter, the envelope was open. Normally when we send it through somebody, we seal the envelope. We don't want other people to hear or read what, you know, we are. It's something private between us and Swami. So she had given the letter open, and she handed over the envelope to Bhagavan. So Bhagavan took the envelope and he opened it and took out the letter. He read the letter and then folded it and put it back in the envelope and gave it back to Mrs. Geeta. And then she came out after the interview was over, and to her utter amazement, she discovered that though the letter was given open, envelope was given open to Swami, when she took out the envelope outside in darshan line, the letter was automatically sealed. So when Swami returned the letter was sealed. So she was staying, her parents were in Bangalore, and she was staying for another month before she returned to the US. So she immediately rang up to her friend. He said, Swami has read your letter and he has given it to me and I have to hand it over to you. But I'm staying 1 month in India. Shall I post it to you? He said, no. You know, it can be lost. And Swami has touched the letter. I don't want so many people to touch. You know, if it goes through post, so many people will be touching. So you keep it with you. When you return after a month, I will collect it personally from you. So when she returned from India and met her friend, she hands over the sealed envelope to the friend. And her husband also was there, and she said, see, the envelope is now sealed. So the husband said, let's open the letter. He was very curious because basically they wanted to know what the name of the child is. So husband was very curious. He said, let's find out what name the Swami has given to the child, if at all, anything. But she said, no, I don't, because you know, once the name is out, you know whether it's a boy or a girl. So she said, no, till the child is born, I don't want to know whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, so don't open the letter. But somehow the husband prevailed, and the envelope was opened, and when the envelope is opened, what she had done was, she had made two lists of names. So it's like multiple choice kind of question. So Swami, these are a few names of boys and these are a few names of girls. Now you know everything, boy or girl, so whichever you like. So Swami, mind you, just read the letter, but the husband said, you know what, in each of the two lists he found that Swami had underlined one name. The boys list, one name was Aniruddha, so that was underlined in that list. And in the girls list, there was a name Sangyukta. So look at Swami. I mean, you know, he didn't even use a pen. He just looked at that letter, and when they received the letter back, it's already underlined. The name is already underlined. See, that is the power of Bhagwan's drishti. Once I remember he was speaking to students in Vrindavan, and he said, you know, my energy flows to you in two ways. He said, first, it flows to you through the tips of my fingers. Like, you know, when we are in darshan and Swami puts his hand on our head, or he permits us to do pad namaskar and we touch his feet. So he said, you know, from the tips of my fingers or the tips of my toes, my energy flows to you. But as was the experience of devotees, you know, when you sit in the darshan line, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, you have got up, stood in the queue, and when the lots is picked up, you suddenly find it is 20th line. So where is your chance to sit somewhere in the front, you know? So many people will be sitting right at the back. So they may feel, oh Swami, though people sitting in the front are so lucky, we are so far behind, we are not so blessed. But, you know, even for them, there is this blessing of Bhagwan. He says, just by my look, if I look at you, my grace is flowing, my energy is flowing. So that's what happened. He just looked at that page of that letter, and automatically the two names got underlined. And look at Swami. See, he also respected the sentiment of the mother. The mother doesn't want to know boy or girl. So, you know, if it's a boy, it is Aniruddha. If it's a girl, Sanyukta. So, you know, till the child is born, her sentiment is also respected. So, then they found that there was something more in the envelope, which the mother had not put inside. And from the envelope came Vibhuti. And along with the Vibhuti came two gold pendants, one with Lakshmi and engraved, and the other with Omkar engraved on it. And when the child was born, it happened to be a boy. So Mrs. Geeta was telling her friend that, you know what, the Lakshmi pendant is for you, the mother, that's a blessing for the mother. The Om pendant is for your son. So, you know, you put a string and tie it, and she tied her own pendant onto her Mangal Sutra. So that ended there. 1.5 years later, they were blessed with a daughter. Then Mrs. Geeta, you know, corrected. She said, I'm so sorry. What I advised was not correct. That Lakshmi is for the daughter, not for you. So, you know, she was saying, see, look at it. The children are not yet born, and yet Bhagwan has given the blessing. And this lady, she was describing about this lady, you know, she used to always see, Geeta, you go to Parthi, Swami calls you, he talks to you, he knows you. I also go to Prashantlayam, I sit in the Kulwant hall. Does Swami know that I have come to Parthi? Does Swami know that I am sitting in the Kulwant hall? You know, to that lady, Swami gave this blessing. You know, we think that Swami, you don't know us. And she, you know, points out, see, look at that, the children are not yet born, and Swami has already given the blessing. So what does he not know? So, does Sai know me? You know, that is the title of mine. So the first mantra which Swami has given us is, I know each one of you. And there are myriad experiences in my own association with Swami, which I'll share, because, you know, an opportunity to think of him is an opportunity to think of what all he has blessed us. And the most beautiful legacy for all of us is the beautiful memories he has left for us. So one day, I was sitting in Sai Ramesh Hall in Vrindavan. And it was, I remember June 1st, the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality was over. The Prashantlayam students, Anantapur campus students of our university had already returned to their campuses. And June 1st is the starting of the academic year of our university. So the only students there sitting for darshan on that beautiful morning were our Vrindavan students. And the primary school students, some of them who were maybe with their parents in Vrindavan, because the primary school session was to start a few days later, maybe 3rd or 4th of June or whatever. So they were still there. So there was this little boy sitting next to me, and Swami came for darshan, and he came to the place where I was seated. And this little boy who was next to me, he got up on his knees and he had a small box. Sometimes, you know, devotees also would offer it to Swami. He had a small box and there was this lavang. What do we say? Huh? Cloves. So there were these cloves pieces, and so he took that clove box and was offering it to Swami. And Swami looked at me and said, who is this boy? Now, obviously, I don't know him, but seeing the small size of the boy, I said, Swami, he's our primary school student. Because he's sitting with the students, so he must be a student. And he's so small, so he cannot but be in the primary school. Definitely not in the high secondary school. So, Swami didn't take the glove, but he said, no, he's not our primary school student. So after, and then Swami walked away. So then I looked at this boy and said, where are you studying? And then he told me some place in some town, maybe in Karnataka or some place he was studying. And I was very surprised. See, if you are not our student, then how come you came and sat with the students here? Our students. He said, no, I saw the students line coming to the mandir. So I also joined the line, and along with them I have also come and sat here. Of course you cannot find fault with the poor fellow. You know, he thought, oh, all the students are going, so I am also their age, so I can also join. But the beautiful insight which I got from that particular small little conversation that I had with Swami, you know, in our primary school, we have 1,000+ students, 1,200, I think at one point of time we even had 1,200. Even now it may be there, I'm not exactly sure, but definitely more than 1,000 students. If Swami were to know that this fellow is not our primary school student, that means he knows, first of all, each one of these 1,200 children. Yes or no? Because, you know, many a time, we ourselves, you know, forget so many things. Sometimes if a person had too many grandparents, you know, we have a lot of grandchildren, you know, they don't even remember which grandchild and how many grandchildren which wife has. So, I mean, this is the state of affairs of human beings, but look at Swami. When we say he's the divine chancellor of our university or the head of all our educational institutions, he knew each and every one of them. Otherwise, how can he identify that this fellow is not our primary kid? Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't belong to him. All that he was pointing out to me is, fellow, you're a teacher. And next to you, a person who is not supposed to be sitting next to you is sitting. What are you doing? Right? So, that was one, you know, experience I had. Another beautiful, because tomorrow is Shivratri. I remember I shared it almost 15 years ago on a Shivratri evening in Swami's presence. This particular episode happened. Today this gentleman is related to one of our students. He's the director of a very prestigious institution in Tamil Nadu. I think the VIT, Vellore Institute of Technology, I think that's where he is heading the chemistry division or something like that. So one day, this boy, I was at that time warden of our hostel, senior boys hostel here, and this boy came to me and he was sharing his health problems. And he was having a very peculiar ailment where, you know, it alternates between constipation and diarrhea. So it was some kind of an infection, and the only food he was able to digest was curd rice, curds mixed with rice. And one day I was with students, some few students Swami had called into the interview room here. And he said, who's Jayaraman? He asked me. I said, Swami, he's a student studying in such and such class. He said, go call him. So I went out of the interview room in the mandir here, and I was searching among the students, and after quite a bit of search, he was sitting in the bhajan hall. I picked him up and went inside. And then Swami asked him, how's your stomach? And poor fellow, you know, he was ailing with amoebiasis. And he was saying, Swami, I have not been keeping too well. Then Swami looked at me and he said, he likes to eat chapati. You give him chapati. You know, he's not able to digest anything more than curd rice. But this is what Swami said. You give him chapati. And then he said, come here. And that boy went up to Swami and he was sitting at Swami's feet. And then Swami waved his hand and from his palm we saw emerge such a big piece of sugar candy. Candy. And Swami gave it to him and said, eat. And like any other student, you know, he started packing it to take it to hostel and then eat it in private. Swami said, no, eat it here. So he made that student eat that piece, big piece of candy, and Swami's all the time looking at him. And he finished his candy, then Swami gave him Padmanabhaskar. He said, now you go. And he went back. So when I went back to the hostel, I took him to our kitchen in charge. And he said, first thing I asked him, he said, did you tell Swami that you are having this problem? Did you write a letter to Swami or did you get a chance to tell personally to Swami? He said, no, sir. I was having this problem. I did tell you, but I did not tell physically to Swami. And that was something very, very startling for me. Though I was the warden of the hostel, he said, look at this. There are 600 students in the hostel and there is one student who is having this ailment and Bhagavan knows. Not only he knows, see, look at his care. You know, he calls that boy and he calls the warden and he instructs him. See that whatever needs to be done, you look into it. So I took him to our kitchen in charge and told whatever he feels comfortable with, please give him and see that, you know, he is able to eat food properly. And as Swami had instructed, you know, we used to give chapatis, all that. So almost 1.5 years or more than a year passed. So it is the month of March and this boy was about to finish his post-graduation. And I was sitting in my office. So one day he walks into my office. He said, sir, did you observe anything strange in the dining hall? You know, we go to dining hall. We have just a few minutes to have our food. I said, whatever time we are concentrating on what we are eating. We're not looking at what others are doing. He said, sir, I just wanted to share with you, for the last few days, I am eating normal food like any other student. And then he shared this thoughts. He said, I was just thinking to myself, here I am with Swami. Swami has taken such wonderful care of me. And in spite of my problem, you know, I have been able to manage so well in Swami's sannidhi. Now my education here is getting over. I'm going to step out of the university. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. Who will take care of me there? You know, I mean, this was the boy's worry. Who will take care? Here Swami has taken care and done all. Who will take care of me there? And lo and behold, he said, in few days, I suddenly discovered my problem is solved and I'm eating like everybody in the hostel today. Today, you know, he's in a very esteemed position and I think director or something, you know, of the institution. So what I mean to say is, see, Swami, when he says knowing, he knows the last person. Even as the warden of the hostel, I may not have known so many things. But Swami sitting here in Mandir knows everything that is happening, whatever, wherever. So his knowing was, you know, we say there are three characteristics of divinity. His omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence. So this is the omniscience facet of Bhagwan. He knew everything about everybody. I remember two episodes. One happened with Kasturiji's grandson. Now this fellow is just, you know, finishing his I think 12th or whatever, and he wanted to choose his career. So he wanted to specialize in some marine engineering or something of that sort. So he requested his grandfather, Grandpa, will you ask Swami, is this okay for me? And the parents also requested their father. So Kasturiji used to be with Swami, and you know, he had that access. So he said, Swami, like this, my grandson wants to pursue this. Is it okay? Can he pursue? And Swami said, no, let him not take it up. It is not appropriate for him. And then Swami reminded him how when this boy was in his childhood, he had hydrophobia, you know, fear of water. And he said, you know, with that kind of a temperament, marine engineering and things like that are not appropriate for him. Imagine the parents have forgotten, the grandfather has forgotten, but Swami is reminding them.
Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
There was another gentleman, you know, with Swami, anything and everything we can ask him. So I believe there was this conversation, this gentleman asked Swami, Swami, I want to divorce my wife. Please give me permission. You know, Swami was the greatest unifier. So this person is asking Swami, he said, Bangaru, all your property is registered in the name of your wife. If you divorce, what will happen to you? What will happen to you? He said, Swami, I have employed a lawyer. Even my lawyer did not give me this advice. So, you know, I mean, when you are dealing with Swami, I mean, it is that omniscience. I remember when we were students, because this was shared by that gentleman himself. I mean, it's a family of Sai devotees, so therefore nothing to hide. And that person, you know, just through his tears he was sharing it. So, you know, the omniscience of the Lord, he knows. So apparently this couple had come to Prashanti, and the wife was in the family way, and they were very eager to know. In those were the days. I know today you can go to a clinic and find out. But in those days, you know, so they wanted to know, is it going to be a baby boy or a girl? So the wife is sitting in the lady's side and the husband is sitting in the gent's side. So Swami passed by and the wife got an opportunity. So she asked Swami. And Swami said, it will be a girl. I mean, you asked Swami a question, Swami has answered it. Then Swami came this side and the husband got an opportunity. So he also got up on his knees and he said, Swami, I am going to be blessed with a child. Will it be a boy or a girl? And then Swami said, it'll be a boy. So, you know, after darshan was over, the couple met at home. I said, hey, Swami talked to you. What did he say? He said, I asked the question. And then they were thoroughly confused. He said, he told you it's going to be a girl, and he told me it's going to be a boy. That means Swami is not God. I mean, if he is God, he should know everything. You know, how does he not know that we are husband and wife? He's telling husband one thing and wife opposite thing. So, you know, I mean, that was, you know, his full turmoil in his mind. What is this, Swami? Next day, apparently, Swami picked him up in darshan line for an interview, but told him to come alone. Normally, you know, he'll call the full family. So he called him alone. And as, you know, he was so much in that mental turmoil, so he said, Swami, what is this? I mean, yesterday I asked you, you told me I'm going to be blessed with a boy. And today, and my wife also asked you, told there's a girl. So what does this mean? You know, so literally accusing Swami. Swami said, what I told is absolutely correct. What I told is absolutely correct. He said, how it can be correct? We have husband and wife. Yeah. Your wife will give you a daughter, but you have that other mistress, she will bless you with a son. And through his tears, he himself shared it with our students. You know, when we were students, he was sitting, see, look at me, you know, what a fool I was, and I accused Swami, and this is what he told me. So he thought, you know, oh, it's private, nobody knows. You know, what does God not know? So I know each one of you. You know, that is the first mantram with Swami. So don't test it, you know, for yourself. You have to have the conviction that yes, Swami knows. The second mantram which he gave, I am with each one of you. You know, there's this beautiful stanza in Telugu. He used to say, entane, kantane, jantane. Basically, one day I was translating, recalling these words of Swami, but telling it in English. So I said, Swami says that I am in you, around you, above you, below you, you know, in front of you, behind you. And then I completed it, thinking that everything is over because I'm not too familiar with the Telugu part. And then Swami said, I am with you. He completed, you know, the starting, intane, the first, I mean, the word itself indicates, I am with you. So, and that, not only that, you know, it is a great, precious memory for me, and over so many years, especially in the post-samadhi period, you know, you recall that and it gives you so much of strength. One day, I think it was 2007, we were having a World Youth Conference here and I was in a panel discussion. So there was this youngster, they had given all questions to us, so this question was put to me, and the youngster's question was, you know, if you experience loneliness in life, how do we handle it? Or something like that. So I said, what do you mean? If you have discovered God in your life, found God in your life, where is the question of loneliness? There's no question of having loneliness. And then I said, see, this is my experience. So one day, I was at that time the principal of our college in Bangalore, and one of my staff members, colleagues, he walks into my office, he said, "Sir, my wife has been in coma for the last 3 days and she's in the hospital. And is there some way we can reach this message to Swami?" And for a few seconds, you know, a person is in coma. Even doctors can't do anything. What can you do? The person is just in coma. There's nothing which you and I or anybody can do, however much you may love the person. So for a few seconds, I said, "Swami," because staying in Prashantalayam at that time, I said, "Swami, we really miss you at this juncture." Then I collected myself, just a few seconds, and I told my colleague, "First things first, you first go to the post office, immediately send a telegram to Swami." And this happened around 12 noon in the afternoon. Around 1 o'clock, I reached my room in the hostel, and the moment I enter my room, the phone rings. So I picked up the phone, and my colleague is on the line. He said, "Sir, as you advised, I immediately went to the post office and I sent the telegram to Bhagwan about my wife's condition. And I returned from the post office, I entered my house and the phone rang. And I picked up the phone, my brother-in-law was speaking to me from the hospital and he said, 'Just now, your wife has come out of coma.'" I just thought to myself, "Swami, where are you? Where are you not? I mean, we are far away, 100 miles from Prashantalayam, and you know, one of us is in dire need of Swami. How far is the Lord?" You know, in one of Swami's Chinna Kathas, he says, the king is asking, "How far is Vaikuntham?" And everybody is, you know, perplexed. What kind of, how does anybody know how many miles can we measure and who can validate all those questions? So there was this fanboy, you know, the person who was fanning the king. Everybody was confused. So the fanboy says, "Master, if you permit me, can I attempt an answer to your question?" He said, "Yes, come on, tell me, what is the answer?" He says, "Vaikuntham is as far as the elephant's call can be heard." You know, there's this beautiful episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the description of the stories of Krishna Leela and various avatars of the Lord. So, Lord Narayana, so Gajendra is, you know, in the waters and the crocodile catches him and he fights with it because he thinks, "I can do it. I am going to, you know, use all my strength. I'm the elephant and I'm going to finish off this crocodile." But he fights and fights and becomes weak and he becomes without any strength. And then he says, "Lord Narayana, please help me." And immediately Lord, you know, comes running as one of the, I think, Potna's Bhagavatam describes. Lord, you know, he's talking to Lakshmi and he doesn't even forget, he forgets where his, you know, that Angavastram is. It just goes flying, his dhoti is somewhere and he's rushing. And he comes and sends his, you know, that Sudarshana Chakra and it cuts the crocodile's head. And that's how Gajendra is liberated. So it's a great episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So referring to that, how far is the Lord? The Lord is as far as the elephant's call can be heard. So, you know, I am with you. My mother was here, she's a 78-year-old woman. In January, she came to Prashantalayam and it was day one. So she was coming to Parthi after almost 1.5 years. So she was sitting in the mandir and recollecting all those beautiful darshans she has had sitting in the mandir. And she was crying. She said, "Swami, I'm not liking it. We're not having your darshan. I mean, where are you?" And she was crying all the time. Anyway, I didn't know about it till a little later, but 2 days later, she happened to be at home, and it seems that there was some strange smell that was in the air. I was not there. I was in the office. My sister had gone to meet somebody. She was also not at home. It was some 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So she's opening the almara. She's experiencing the smell. She's going from one room to the other. She's seeing the feeling the smell. But what is the smell? What is the smell? You're not able to make it. Anyway, she went to the kitchen. So she took the gas lighter and tried to light it. It didn't get lit. So she went to the puja room, took a matchbox, and went to the kitchen, and she lit a matchstick. The moment she lit the matchstick, to her utter horror, she found that the whole stove was in flames. And there were 2 gas cylinders below, and one of them full, the other one was still being under use, and the whole thing is in flames. And you know, you can imagine the response of a 78-year-old lady. You know, your responses are very slow, and suddenly there was this water can under on a stool, and there was newspaper under it that caught fire. And you know, there's fire in front of you, there's fire, this thing. So she didn't know what to do. She took some water and threw on that, trying to put off the fire. And then she just put off the regulator of the gas. The moment she put off the regulator, the pipe which connects the cylinder to the stove immediately, you know, came apart, and fire is emanating from it. Apparently the sides had got cracked, and it was leaking from there. And what she was actually smelling was the gas leak, but she's not able to make out that gas is leaked. And you know, she was, whatever way she tried to put up, then she went outside, rushed outside, and not able to even tell what has happened. So after her neighbors cooled her down and all that, then she said, this is what has happened. And they said, did you put out the regulator? Then some gents came from top also, some neighbors came. And then they said, you know, anything could have happened the way what... and then they found that her home, she was wearing cotton dress. Her cotton dress also had been in flames because it had got wrinkled. Imagine, you know, in that condition, yet everything went off as if nothing has happened, though she was, you know, really shaken up by that experience. So when I reached there, almost everything was over. So I was telling her, see, you were telling Swami, I am not seeing you and I am not liking it. You don't know our Swami. Because in the good old days, in Chitravati, you know, Swami would take devotees to Chitravati. Then he'll be returning, suddenly he'll disappear. So they'll be, Swami, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? They'll be searching. They'll, behind the tree they'll search, behind the bush they'll search, and they won't find Swami. Suddenly, you know, they are going, and behind a bush, they have already searched there. Suddenly from behind the bush, Swami will manifest and say, Bo! And you know, you'll freeze, because you didn't expect anybody to be there. So I said, see, when your time of need came, your husband is not here, your husband is in Delhi, your son, whoever it may be, is not with you, he is somewhere in the office, your daughter who was supposed to be with you and escorting you and doing everything whatever you needed, she also has gone somewhere. Alone you are with Swami, and yet you came out of it unscathed. That is Swami's bow for you. So don't ever tell Swami you are not there, I'm not having a darshan. Dare not tell Bhagavan that. He is there all the time. All the time. You know, yesterday one of our faculty members was sharing his beautiful experience. He has this small, Swami has permitted it. Once some foreign devotees asked Swami, Swami, sometimes we have some questions, and is it okay we put chits and we pray and ask you for advice, and through that chits, you know, you... Swami said, yes, you can. Of course, you must sincerely pray and then use it sincerely. You know, once the message comes, there's a discipline also. You shouldn't say, maybe something else Swami would have thought. So first time you pick up, it's yes. Then second time you pick up, it's no. Then third time you become yes. Then you get thoroughly confused. Now, Swami, is it yes or no? What is it? So, you must trust it. So especially in our students' hostel, they had the habit of keeping, it started first in the rooms and now it has become centralized. You know, they keep it in a central place. So I remember the first time one student shared with me, and I was so touched by his experience. So it was apparently exam time. We have a few holidays before the exams. So from morning he had been chit-chatting a lot after breakfast and wasted his time. And then he started feeling guilty. Oh, you know, I wasted study hours, exam time, and I wasted so much time. So let me see how Swami must be feeling about what I have done. So he went to the chit box in the room. He picks up a chit. And the moment he picked up the chit, the message which he reads is, Bangaru, I have put so much effort to bring you to this level. Now don't let me down. Now don't let me down. So even more he started feeling guilty. Then, you know, Swami, I am going to, I won't have lunch, I will go to three, I will study there throughout from morning to evening, and I will try to make, catch up for all the time I wasted. And then after all those beautiful resolutions, he said, let me see how Swami is feeling about my resolutions. So he went to the chit box and he picked up another chit. And when he opens the chit, you know what message he gets? If the child is not eating, how can the mother have her food? You know, this is the, you know, message which he got. What I'm saying is, I mean, this is their experience. So, this faculty yesterday evening was sharing with me. A few days back this happened. He picked up a chit from, he has in his room itself. So he picked up a chit and was looking for some message from Swami. And Swami said, suffering is my grace. Now that's a very, you know, dicey kind of message. Suffering is my grace, Swami. What are you hinting? That means something is coming. So he got some, what is it, what is it? So then again he put his hand into the chit box and he picked up another chit. And then Swami says, test is my taste. So even more, Swami, what is going to happen? So he got really little nervous. Something is brewing, that means. Then again, you know, in that mental state, he again picked up a third message. And when that he reads that message, he says, don't worry, I will take care of everything. So this happens in the morning. Suddenly in the afternoon sometime, he found lot of pain in his abdomen region. So much excruciating pain. So they rushed him to our general hospital and the doctors checked and all that. They said, we feel that you are having appendicitis or gallstone or something. Tomorrow itself we'll do the surgery. Morning he got this message, grace, suffering is my grace. In afternoon all this is happening. So he knew that, but you know, he had that, the Swami said, I will take care of everything. And if whatever has to happen, let it happen. So next day, they did all the tests, whatever they had to do. And in all the tests, it was found that nothing is wrong. So, you know, that is Swami, you know, something to give us advance notice also. Hey, Bangaru, something will come, but don't feel uneasy. I'm there with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, that is a very powerful... Once I remember Swami telling me, it was not just stated to the few students who were there with him at that time. I feel it's a message which he gave to all mankind. And he said, even if you forget me, I will never forget you. This is the word which he has given. And, you know, that is divinity. He is closer to us than ourselves. You know, one day, it so happened that I got an email. On my official mail, I was in Bangalore at that time, and there was a devotee from Luxembourg. So he said, sorry sir, I am writing to you on your official mailbox. I had this query. I wanted to meet somebody and consult somebody whom Swami has given a green ring. So I couldn't find anybody else. So I am writing to you. Please don't mind. And this is his query. He said, Swami also gave me a green ring. When I look into my ring, I see Swami in my ring. So I'm not sure whether I'm really seeing Swami or I'm seeing, it's some visions or something. So I wanted to consult somebody whom Swami has also given a green ring. So are you seeing Swami in your green ring? So I wrote back to him, my dear so and so, let me confess that I am not seeing Swami in my green ring. But that is no reason for you to doubt your own experience, because I know that there are devotees, it's documented in Swami's history, whom Swami has given a green some ring and they had darshan of Swami in that ring. So please don't look otherwise. So I had sent the mail, and about 2-3 weeks later, it was a Sunday morning, and suddenly I get a phone call from one of our staff members who had come to Vrindavan. He was at that time in the Mudanalli campus. He had brought a friend. He said, sir, I have come with so-and-so, and he belongs to the Tarkad family in Satya Shirdi Sai Charitra. If you read 9th chapter, there is a story of the Tarkad family, where, you know, there is this son and father, and they are coming to Shirdi. And the son is not willing to come because he used to do this daily puja and offer naivedyam and all. And he is not willing because he was not sure whether his father was, you know, so-so. So he's not sure whether his father will do all that in his absence. So father says that, don't worry, you go with mother to Shirdi, I will do all the whatever you have been doing. So they, with that assurance, he comes. And this happens on both sides. One is the father forgets to put naivedyam that day. So lunchtime he calls his servant and says, hey, get the today's prasadam. So the servant says, sir, you did not put naivedyam in the morning, so there's no prasadam. So he feels very sad. You know, this is what has happened. I shouldn't have done it. I promised my son. Here in Shirdi, Shirdi Baba is telling the mother and son, you know, today I went to your home. I was feeling very hungry, but there was nothing to eat, and I had to go come back hungry. So the son immediately realized some fishy thing has happened. Our dad has, you know, messed up the puja today. And, you know, they exchange notes and the letters exchange. So that beautiful story is documented in Shirdi Sai Charitra. So this gentleman belongs to that family. He is, the story in the Charitra is about a father and son. The son's son, he was visiting for the first time. He came to Prashantalayam also, and he was visiting Vrindavan. So the gentleman asked me, sir, he wants to meet some Sai devotee. Can you spend some time with him? So I said, definitely, but there's a program our alumni are planning for Swami's 90th birthday in the Sai there was the Kalyan Mandap. So I have a small interaction with them. I will come and meet him at 11 o'clock in the hostel. So I finished that little program, whatever I had to participate in, and I came, and this gentleman is waiting, and we started exchanging notes. So he said, I asked him, can you tell me some experience of yours? So some beautiful experience that he has had with Shirdi Baba, personal experience he shared. Then he asked me, he said, has Sathya Sai Baba given you anything? He said, everything he has given, what has he not given? He's given me this ring also, I said. So then, because 2 weeks ago, this episode happened with this Luxembourg devotee, so I just shared, see, this is what happened with the green ring that Baba had given to this Luxembourg devotee, because I'm telling that this ring has been given by Baba. So he was sitting opposite row, so then he came and sat next to me. As I'm narrating my story, he's looking at the ring. Then suddenly he gets up and he stood in front of me, he's looking at my ring. And he said, sir, shall I say something to you? I said, what is it? He said, actually, at this moment, I am seeing Sathya Sai Baba in your ring. So I was totally, and he started falling at my feet. I said, please don't do all that. I'm a very ordinary person. He said, actually, when I was sitting next to you, I saw that. And I thought it was perhaps a reflection of the photo. There was Swami's photo behind. I thought it was a reflection of that photo on the ring. But then I realized that photo, Swami is wearing orange robe. In your ring, I'm seeing him in white robe. And then only I realized that this is not some reflection. It is a real, I'm getting darshan. So I felt, you know, look at it. It's the first time somebody is visiting Swami's ashram. And what a blessing. I mean, of course, he comes from a very a family which has been associated with Swami right from his previous incarnation, though in this life. But first to visit to the ashram, and you know, how Swami is giving. And then I said, there's a message for me also, because, you know, we were just discussing with all our alumni what they should be doing for Swami's 90th birthday preparations and things like that. So Swami used to wear white robes on very rare occasions, one of them being the birthday. So it's a message, hey, whatever you all been discussing, no, I am overhearing. So, you know, that white dress was a message for me also. And then I thought to myself, see, look at it, how close can Bhagwan get to us? You know, if he can be in my ring, and I mean, I'm not seeing it, but you know, somebody is seeing it who has no exposure to Satya Sai Baba. And if he is seeing it, it means it's a message for me. See, I'm with you, I'm so close to you. And each one of you. See, that is the message which we have to keep reminding ourselves. And the third one, that I love each one of you. I mean, Swami's love is something which is unfathomable. I remember we were students at that time, and it was the year, I think, 1984. And Swami said, you know, we are going to have, in those days, our sports meet, which we nowadays see on January 11th, had not picked up. It was just, the university had just been born and things were still evolving. So Swami said, I want you all to put up a sports program on the 21st of November. So all of you all start preparations. And he got two officers from the military to train us. So they were training us, and in 1 week, Swami said, I want to see what you all are up to, what practice you have done. Now, in 1 week, you know, what we would, our trainer was telling, 1, 2, you know, we were doing all that, and Swami is going to come and see all that. So anyway, he said, I'm coming. I want to come and see what you all are. So we had organized it in the college quadrangle, and there's a Ganesha there. There's a flight of steps, there's Ganesha there. And so we had kept Swami's chair there so that, you know, he can have a grandstand view of all our prep program. So my event was over. I went up and I was seeing from the balcony. And of course we are seeing Swami, we are seeing the students, whichever item was going on. Now because it's the early practice session, you know, people were practicing with a drum. So 1, 2, it was being given on the, so somebody was beating the drum. And that was the indication, change your, whatever is the exercise position. So I don't know who made the mistake. Students made the mistake. Mostly the drummer made the mistake. He went out of beat. And I saw the most horrible sight, you know. And you're so embarrassed because if one fellow is doing like this, the other fellow is doing like that. Because nobody is seeing each other. They are just going by the drum beat. And the drum beat rhythm has gone totally out of shape. And Swami is sitting there. My God, you know, he wants us to put up such a beautiful program. And look how we are messing it up royally in his presence. So all that was going on. But then something unusual happened. Just few minutes before Swami had arrived, there was this stray dog, pregnant. She came and stood off in the middle of the ground. So somebody went, hey, shoo, shoo, shoo. And, you know, very slowly started moving away. Then only we realized that she was carrying. So we chased it out. When all this confusion is taking place, suddenly this stray dog from nowhere came. Nobody saw. It came and stood at the bottommost step. And she started staring at Swami. The moment this confusion started, Swami stopped looking at the program. He started looking at the dog. And the dog is looking at Swami. And, you know, like we used to put next to Swami's chair, there'll be a small stool and there'll be water and there'll be some small eatables which our boys would have made for Swami, some pakodi or some groundnut or something like that. So Swami, it was covered with the small cloth. So Swami removed the cloth, looked what is there, and he picked up something and he threw at the dog. And the dog happily ate it. And again it is staring at Swami. So it's not satisfied with that one morsel. So again Swami took from his bowl and threw at the dog. And the dog is again, it became a little more courageous. It's climbed up 1 or 2 steps now. And again looking at Swami, and all this time, you know, Swami is feeding the dog and the dog is munching happily. And the beauty of it was, all this confusion is going on. Nobody is seeing the confusion. Swami is not seeing the confusion. And the item got over. And so naturally, so Swami said, over. Yes, Swami, program over. Okay. So, you know, that was the knack or the grace of Swami, you know, how in a apparently messy situation, He will still make us see the beauty of that moment. So, by diverting everybody's attention on the dot. When I narrate this to my students, I tell them, she was a stray dog, not even a human being, a stray dog, and yet she earned the grace of the Lord by eating out of His own hands. You know, we lived decades with Swami. How many times can we count, and how many of us can count that we got that blessing? That stray dog earned that grace. Because Swami says, if you need me, you deserve me. You will not get a more, you know, easier God than that. He doesn't ask you, what are your qualifications? Oh, you want me? What are your qualifications? What do you do this, that and all? He says, if you need me, you deserve me. At that moment, the dog said, I need you. He forgot everyone. He forgot the teachers. He forgot the vice chancellor. He forgot the students. His only concern is that dog. And fed the dog. So I tell my students, if a stray dog could get the grace of the Lord, could get the love of the Lord, can you and I, human beings, not earn that grace? Can we not have that confidence that if He can love that stray dog, He can love, He loves me and loves me intensely more than I love myself? So, when the Lord says, I love each one of you, He means it, and He means it completely. He loves us as we are. As we are. You know, when we come to Swami, we come with all our weaknesses, we come with all our faults, we come with all our deficiencies. And the world will say, scoundrel of the highest order, this fellow. But for Swami, I remember once He told me, hey, scold this boy. He's not at all disciplined, not at all lived up to Swami's expectations. So when I shared it with him, he felt really very, very sad. He said, sir, if Swami is feeling so much about my behavior, let Him send me away from here. At least that way I will not hurt Him anymore. Next day when I shared it with Swami, He asked me. I knew He will ask. And He said, what did that boy say? I said, Swami, this is what he said. What Swami said was a revelation for me. He said, fool, tell him. Does he think that only if he is here, he belongs to me? Wherever he is in the world, is he not mine? If he conducts himself not as per my expectations, wherever he is in the world, does he think that Swami will not feel? What a bond, what a relation between man and God. So, you know, when He says, I am with you, once I remember, I was a very young faculty. And I was very passionate about, you know, giving my knowledge to my students. So there was this student of mine, 31st March, last day of the academic year. He took all his books and all his notes and went to the hostel quadrangle and lit a bonfire. Because he was very mischievous, not interested in studies. And you know, all teachers are watching it, students are watching it, what example this fellow is setting to others. And I was young faculty looking at it, and you know, you can imagine what a teacher, at least if he doesn't come back next year, you know, what a relief it is for us. But it so happened that there was a conversation between him and Swami, and Swami asked him, now you're final year, what will you do next? He said, Swami, if I get this chance to do this course, I will pursue it. Otherwise, I will go outside and do something. So Swami told him, what difference it makes? You do this course, you do that course. Everything is same. No, Swami. If I do this course only, I'm going to be here. Otherwise, I'm going. Okay, you do whatever you want. And, you know, in spite of all what the teachers may be feeling, that fellow came back. Because he got the course which he wanted to do. But what Swami shared with our then warden was something amazing. Swami said, you know, this boy's time is so bad, if he goes out at this juncture, he will surely die in an accident. Now Swami cannot tell him. He cannot tell him, hey, you be here, otherwise if you go out, you'll die in an accident. God does not work like that. He's just advising you. So, when Swami, then only I understood, oh, this is the love of Swami. What the world thinks of Swami may misunderstand Swami also. He cares to hoot because love is totally selfless. His concern is only this fellow's welfare. What the world thinks of him, he cares to hoots about it. That is unconditional love. That unconditional love he gave to each one of us. And to reflect that love in our daily life, even if we can do it in a small way, we are expressing our own divine nature. You know, when Swami says, I'm with you, I'm in you. So, that divinity which is within also will get manifested in all our lives when we reflect in whichever way. In whichever way in our day-to-day life, if we reflect it, we are reflecting that love which Swami embodied. So these are some thoughts, some reflections. I thought it's a very beautiful mantra which Swami has given. If you just reflect, I am with each one of you. I know each one of you. I love each one of you. So those who have receive that love of Swami, are receiving that love of Swami, are experiencing that love of Swami, have a great responsibility. Much is expected from those whom much is given. So with these few words,
it's never too late to say a sorry. It's never too late to begin again. Well, love always gives you a second chance. Who knows where and who knows when to be. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Hate the sin, hate the sin. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Hate the sin, hate the sin. Never stop loving, even when your heart is broken. Never say no when it should have been yes. Don't ever walk past a hungry child. For what went wrong, you can only guess. I guess we all know what it's like to have fallen. You pick yourself up and it makes you strong. People in glass houses, they shouldn't throw stones. And we all need love when we go wrong. Oh, I'll never stop loving, sinner.
You give me hope when all around was lost, and I could see no point in trying. Why, I saw love passing by me. You came into my life, you came into my life. I look around, జీవచరణ